Good evening. So tonight what we are discussing is as follows. The question is, who may take tzedaka and who may not take? I hope that this question is not so relevant for us. Hopefully none of us are really poor people who potentially should take tzedaka. But even so, I think it's an important question. And we'll see that there is some relevance for average Joes and Janes, even though we don't consider ourselves to be poor. So now, the first thing is, you should be aware that it says in Shulchan Aruch that you should not want to take tzedaka. I remember as a kid, so I was with my parents on one of our family trips to Israel for the summer, and a friend of mine and I stood at a street corner, and we put our hands out, and we started collecting money. Ooh. I have never gotten the frask in the face to that extent. My mother was not so happy with me, and I said, listen, you know, I need money because I want to buy myself whatever it was that I wanted. I was probably 9. Now, my mother did not want to buy me that thing, and she wasn't so inclined that I was entitled to collect tzedaka money to get whatever the thing. And my sister probably remember what it was that I wanted. But I remember getting really, really, really punished for this one. So, Shulchan Aruch agrees with my mother, like Shulchan Aruch always does, not like me. It says that la'olam yarchik adam atzmo mehatzdaka. A person should always distance himself from receiving tzedaka. V'yigalgel atzmo b'tza'ar. And you should roll in pain. Right? In other words, go through difficult times, shelo yitztarech lebrios, so that you should not need people's help. V'chein sivu chachamim, aseh shabbat chachol, v'al titztarech lebrios. And the rabbi said, make your Shabbos like the weekday, and don't, v'al titztarech lebrios, don't become a ward of society. Right? Now, what does that mean, aseh shabbat chachol? What that means is as follows. On Shabbos, we're supposed to eat 3 meals, correct? Aseh Shabbat Chachol. You should rather eat 2 meals on Shabbos instead of eating 3 meals, not to collect tzedakah. In other words, if you have enough money to get by on the 2 meals for a Shabbos, or you could get by eating tuna fish on Shabbos, Aseh Shabbat Chachol, V'al Titztarech Lebrios, make your Shabbos like a weekday and don't collect money. Right? And then the Mechaber continues, and we all know this idea, but afilu hayochacham mechubad v'heni, even if you are a great Talmud Chacham, then you become poor, yasok ba'umnis, work! Even if it's a dirty job, right? Become a garbage man, right? Become a car mechanic, right? It's a really dirty job. Like, no, you end up like so. Your face is like all black at the end of the day.
You make a lot of money.
Okay, and look at that. It's a skilled position. Sanitation department has great benefit. You know what? But as the Chazal say, Pishot Nevela Bashuk, but out it's Tarek Lebrios. That means
Tanner.
Pishot Nevela, rip off the skins of dead animals in the marketplace. That's a really disgusting job, no? Not that Tanner. I have any idea what this is about. But basically, even if you're like a big Talmud Chacham, you're a respectable person, and now you're poor, work rather than collect money. Then the Mechaber continues. Okay, someone who was like me when I was 8 or 9 years old. You don't need to take tzedaka, and you cheat people to take. You're not going to die until you actually need money. Right? In other words, you are making believe that you need money, so what? God says, you know what? You're going to end up really needing money. And if you have to take, and you can't live unless you take money. So in other words, this is a person who is elderly, is ill, and this person won't be able to live without taking tzedaka, but it's megastato ve'enu notel. He is hoary. Right? And, right, sapasnish, I can't take the tzedakah. So the din is hareza shofech damim umischayev benafsho ve'ein lo betzara ela avonos v'chatoim. Okay, if a person refuses to take tzedakah when you really need it, so then you're like a murderer. Right? V'kol mi shetzarech lito umitzara atmo v'dokech zasha v'chai chai yitzar kedei shalo yatriach al atzibor ein omeis ha'k shefanis ha'cher v'alov ha'kosav omer baruch ha'giv ha'shevtach b'ashem. Basically, the Mechaber is saying as follows. If a person does not need tzedakah and he takes tzedakah, so what will end up happening is that the person is going to end up being on the receiving end of tzedakah. He'll end up losing his money and he'll have to receive tzedakah. A person who refuses to take tzedakah, right, putting himself at risk of losing his life, no? An elderly person, right? So, and he can't live without the tzedakah, but he still refuses to take the tzedakah. So the din is, you're mischayef benafshal. You're like killing yourself. And if you need to take tzedakah, but you force yourself to have a difficult job, so in that situation, that's a great thing, and then you will end up helping others in the long run. That is what the Mechaber says, yeah.
I'm just not sure whether you're planning to discuss this, but I was curious, how does collecting welfare fit into this?
Okay, so what we are talking about with tzedakah, and that's an important point, Rav Bloy in his Sefer Tzedakah Mishnah points out that we're talking about someone who, even with all of the government assistance, still can't make ends meet. Right? That is the type of ani that we're discussing. We'll talk about, right? But not to take welfare. The government offers you welfare. That's not what we're addressing. We're addressing taking tzedakah from the tzibur. That's not taking welfare, to the best of my knowledge. The government has a program that's established. I don't think that, again, to the best of my knowledge, I don't think taking welfare is considered tzedakah. I don't think that would meet these characteristics.
Okay, so meaning the Shulchan Aruch wouldn't say you should try to get a job rather than welfare.
I mean, I think it's sound advice anyway, but I don't think that's what Shulchan Aruch is referring to. Right.
Wait, but then doesn't it say if you take the dirty, even a dirty job rather than taking tzedakah?
You should what?
Take a dirty job rather than taking tzedakah.
But that's tzedakah. In other words, tzedakah is that there's money that was collected from the tzibur to support other people, etc. Okay?
Sometimes you can't find a job.
Then wouldn't it imply that they're saying it's better to get a job than taking welfare?
Not necessarily. Not necessarily, because I think welfare is like a government program. The halacha is I shouldn't take tzedakah. But right. To take from the government program, I'm not sure.
But the welfare won't prevent you from getting a job. Because you make more than you make in a job, so you're going to just sit and do nothing.
Again, those details...
The government was like, when you got fired for like 2 years, if they would give you like your same salary or similar,
right.
They were offered jobs. They're like, why would I take a job if I'm making less?
For less money, because I could... Yeah, I mean, I've had cases like that of people who were unemployed and they didn't want to take a job because they felt that, yeah, they needed more money and they could get more on disability or unemployment,
yeah,
whatever it was. Yeah.
I know I'm maybe bringing up a social product, but what about people who are learning and they say they can get a job because they're learning?
Right, so again, so the idea over there is that that's stuck in terms of the stuck of supporting not poor people, but supporting Talmud Torah. Right? There's a whole other category of tzedakah to support Talmud Torah. That's what we mentioned in the Shiurim about Ma'aser Ksafim from the Medrash Tanhuma, that supporting Torah is like a primary location of giving Ma'aser Ksafim. So I think supporting someone to learn, you're right, the person could get a job. In theory, but he wants to learn, so I'm paying for his Torah. I'm paying, right? So I think that's right. It's not paying for someone who's poor. Someone who's poor is someone who is poor, right? And if you're poor, you should get a job. But paying for a kollel is paying for Torah. It's not paying for poor people. It's a different track entirely. Let's go on.
The community is supporting something. The community values.
Now, this question as to just to go quickly. So if a person should really try to get a job rather than taking tzedakah. That's the basic halacha. Now, at what point does it become permitted to take tzedakah? So the Mechaber sounded like the only time I should take tzedakah is if I can't live without it. Right? Those are the cases that the Mechaber gives. Right? He gives a case of a zakein or chola or ba yisurin, a person who can't live without the money. And he's the only person or she's the only person who should take tzedakah. Yeah, that's the halacha that the Mechaber sets out. This is actually a big machlokes harishonim. And let me explain. There is a Mishnah in Peah. This is the last Mishnah Meseches Peah. Perichesa Peah, Mishnah Tes. So the Mishnah first talks about how much money I have, then I can't receive tzedakah. And then the Mishnah, let's pick up from the last five words of the first line. V'chol mi shetzarech litol ve'eino notel. Right? Anyone who has to take tzedakah but doesn't take, eino meis min hazikna, actually farnes hacheirim mishalo, v'alav hakasav omer, baruch hagever, asher yivtach b'Hashem, etc. Right? In other words, that's the same din that we saw in the Mechaber. If I have to take and I don't take, so then that's a bad thing, no? No, excuse me, that's a good thing. I'm sorry. Let's read again. The Mishnah says, if I have to take tzedakah and I don't take tzedakah, so eino meis min hazikna, shefanes acherim. I'm going to end up supporting others with my money. So it's a good thing not to take tzedakah, even though I have to take. That's what the Mishnah says. Comes along the Rash. The Rash is the commentary of Tosis on Mishnayos in Zeraim. And the Rash, actually, he himself made Aliyah in 1210. The Rash quotes a Yerushalmi. B'Yerushalmi Amrinan, that Reb Chiya b'shem Rebbe, keini masnisa, in other words, the Mishnah says that if I should take tzedakah and I don't take tzedakah, so that's a great thing and I'm going to end up supporting others eventually. But Yerushalmi says, if I should take tzedakah and I don't take tzedakah, I'm a shofech damim. I'm a murderer, no? So there's a contradiction between the Yerushalmi and the Mishnah. So he answers, right? It sounds like mashma de plagi, it sounds like they disagree. In other words, says the Rash, it depends. If you could make ends meet by working really hard and you could make it, so then you're not allowed to take tzedakah. And then, right, it's a great thing if you don't take tzedakah. But if you can't make ends meet, if it's hard for you, if you're misagif, right, if it's difficult for you, you have to really suffer, even though you have a job, but you're still suffering, so in that situation, then you should not take the tzedakah. Right, basically, according to the Rash, if I'm going to suffer, I don't take tzedakah. But if I could get a job that I'd make ends meet without suffering, then by not taking tzedakah, I'm doing a good thing. That's what the Rash says. The Rambam, however, disagrees, no? And the Rambam says that we're only talking about someone who would end up dying if he does not take tzedakah, or potentially dying. That's the only person who is considered a shofich damim for not taking tzedakah. So let's review. According to the Rash, if I get a job and I still don't really make ends meet, it's still very difficult for me, says the Rash, in that situation, you should take tzedakah. The Rambam would say, no. The only time you should take tzedakah is if you potentially would die. The Mechaber seems to paskin like the Rambam, but the later poskim, the Shach, etc., over here, paskins like the Rash. That means, according to the Shulchan Aruch, the only time I'm allowed to take tzedakah, in other words, the only time we don't look down at you for taking tzedakah, is if you would possibly die. But the Rash is saying that if you would get a job and it would be hard, difficult, etc., then, right, the Rash would say, then you are allowed to take tzedakah against the Rambam. The later poskin, the Shach paskins like the Rash, not like the Rambam. That's point one that we wanted to make. Was this too complicated? David? Okay, fine. Good. Now, how much money does a person have to have in order to not be eligible for tzedakah? So the Mishnayos and Peah have rules for this. Right? Now we have to just go through very briefly. There were two different collections that used to exist, which in no community exists anymore. They were called the Tamchoi and the Kupa. The Tamchoi basically meant that the Gabbai would go around to homes every day and collect cooked food, and give that food to the Aniyim. Kupa is that you collect money. And unlike Tamchoi, which is distributed every day, right, the fresh food is collected and distributed the same day. Kupa, you collect money, and you distribute the money at the end of the week. Those are the two different types of tzedakahs that used to exist. And the Gemaras say that these two tzedakahs are really about two different types of aniyim. Right? There's aniyim who come from outside of the city, who are just passing through for a day, so that you give them one day's worth. They get tamchoi. Mm-hmm. But someone who lives in town, that person gets a kupa. That person gets the weekly allowance, not the daily allowance. Okay, so far so good. Now, how much do I need to be eligible to get from the kupa or the tamchoi? So it says, mi sheyesh mazon shtei seudos, lo yitome hatamchoi. If I have enough food for two meals, I can't take tamchoi. Mazon yudalet seudos, if I have enough food for 14 meals, 14 meals is two meals a day for 7 days a week, so then I don't get from kupa. Then it says, im yesh lo resh zuz, if I have 200 zuz, ve'eno nosei ve'nosein bahem, and I don't do business with them. In other words, I have $200 in my bank account, let's say, or I have $50 that I am doing business with, so then I can't take any tzedakah. But if I have $199, 199 zuz, even if they give me 1,000, I'm allowed to take. Okay, so basically there is a cutoff. The cutoff is called 200 zuz. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. If I have less than 200 zuz, I'm entitled to take tzedakah. And once I'm entitled to take tzedakah, I could even get a huge donation of 1,000 zuz at one shot. Because I have 199.
But then you can't take any more.
I get my one big gift and I end up much better off. No? This is like the question that people were asking before, that sometimes you can end up better off if you're on the tzedakah rolls, no? Because I have $199 bucks, then I'm entitled to get 1,000, or assuming I'm a good collector, I can get 1,000. That's the halacha. Now, it says in Shulchan Aruch also that if I am traveling to collect money, traveling from town to town, so my entire trip is considered one handout. So if I have $199, the halacha allows me to set out to collect. Once I set out to collect, I could collect my entire trip, no? Because that's like one handout. That's the halacha in Shulchan Aruch. They explain that this idea, the difference between $199 and $200, is actually seen from the word tzedakah itself. What's the gematria of tzedakah? $199, okay? So if the gematria of tzedakah is $199, that means I have $199. This is what the Chida writes in the Birkei Yosef. I have $199, I'm entitled to take tzedakah. How much? Even 1,000. I can get as much as I want. That's an amazing deal, right?
Does that mean that
okay, so what does this mean for us? These are the halachos in the Mishnayos. And the halachos in Mishnayos also say, let's say I have a lot of assets, but I owe them to other people. Right? That's what the Ramah quotes, the second Ramah here. Yeshu harbei v'hu alav b'chov. Let's say I owe lots of debts. So the money that I owe for debts, I could still, right, doesn't count as money that I have, because it's not really mine. I could still collect tzedakah. There's like 1,000 different dinim on this aspect. If I have under 200, I can collect tzedakah. If I have 200, I can't collect tzedakah. That's the halacha Mishnayos. Se'if Beis is quoting from the Smak. Yesh omrim, shelo ne'emru hashi'urim halalu, ela bimehem. That these measurements, these amounts of 200, 199, right, and 50 if I have money that I'm dealing with on a constant basis, right, money that I'm constantly investing. So these shiurim were only applicable in their times. Aval b'zman hazeh, Yochol litol achiyelo keren kidei sheyispanes hu ubnei beiso umeharevach udvarim shotamheim. But today, it's not about 200. It depends, do I have enough money to support me and my family? That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Now, what's the problem with this line in Shulchan Aruch? No, Shulchan Aruch is saying that the Mishnayos, which give us a measurement of 200 zuz, right? Those numbers are no longer applicable. And today, it depends. Do I have enough money to support me and my family or not enough money to support me and my family? That's what it depends on. What's the problem?
Support in what way?
To what extent? For how long? No? Nothing is clarified here. It just says that Bizman Hazel, all the Shurim, and the Mishnayis and Peah work very hard on the Shurim, but doesn't tell me, right, what it means. Well, Maisa, what do I do, right, today, in terms of giving an Ani money? What does it mean to qualify as an Ani? So, most poskim assume as follows. Ready? That we have to look at the amount of money it takes where you live for a family your size to live for a year. Not in a grandiloquent sort of way, but a normal sort of lifestyle. Right? It's almost like the tuition committees of yeshivas.
Yeah.
Right? In other words, right, we hate tuition committees, but the Maisa, if you have enough to live in a normal way, then you're not entitled to tzedakah. If you don't, you are. And the measurement that we give is a one-year measurement. That is what the tzedakah or mishpat paskins, and it's based on each community. What does it take to live as a single person in the New York area? My guess is probably $65,000 or $70,000. I don't know.
What?
No idea. Right? Not, it's not. It's
roommates?
Not cheap.
How many
right?
roommates?
What? Okay, with roommates it's cheaper, right? You're right. Move in with roommates, but you know you have to make an
Which
assessment.
Borrow?
I mean, the truth is, when I first got married, I was earning $16,000 a year. My wife was earning $14,000, and we made it. Our rent was $900 a month, and well, for the first year we were able to make it on that. Again, but that, we also didn't have to buy anything because we came into marriage and like we all had enough clothing and everything for, you know, we were set up. But, you know, you have to make an assessment. What does it take? That's what most Sfarim say. Reb Chaim Cohen in the Badei HaShulchan has the following idea. His idea is as follows. He says, we mentioned that if I have less than 200, so I'm entitled to get 1,000, right? That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Remember that? Mm-hmm. Now, does that mean 1,000? Or does that mean, or is 1,000 like a really big number you can get as much as you want? Is 1,000 dafka or lav dafka? So he wants to say that he thinks 1,000 is dafka. In other words, that the halacha is that if a person is poor, so really we should support you on a year-by-year basis. You count as an ani, you have 199 according to the Mishnah, so we should support you on a year-by-year basis. And therefore we should give you 200 for each year. But that's a real pain for the Gabayim. The Gabay Tzedakah has to assess the people, figure out how much money they are earning, and to do it every year, it requires serious investigation, a lot of time. So therefore, to be nice to the Gabay Tzedakah, they said, will allow you to use what Stalin would call a 5-year plan.
Oh.
Right? So what we'll do is, we'll say, you know what, you can collect 1,000, that's 5 years worth. Consequently, Reb Chaim Cohen assumes that the halacha of tzedakah is as follows, that if someone is poor, meaning he doesn't have a year's worth of salary, so then the community responsibility is to give you 5 years worth of salary.
At one time?
At one time.
Invest it.
Right, and you invest it, and then you live off the profits. Right, absolutely. That's the way he understands. Now, I met last week with a fellow. He runs a very important stock organization, Yad Eliezer. They're supporting many Yisomen Amanas and Eretz Yisrael. It's like a beautiful organization. And I was like talking to the guy, because I'm running Kochot Stock, I said, like, how often do you assess these Yisomen and Amanos in terms of whether or not they need money? Right? A woman's an almana. It's a terrible thing. It's unfortunate. But, you know, sometimes people are earning money. Just because you're an almana doesn't mean... And not every almana needs the same amount of money. So how often do you make this assessment? So he told me that the psak he got from the Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael, whatever that means, is once every 6 months. So I said, well, you know, this sefer just came out. He says you use a 5-year plan. That makes it much easier for the Gabayim, but that's also in some ways a little bit unfair to the Tzibor, because in 5 years, right, the situation could change very easily. But he's assuming, Reb Chaim Cohen's paskening, that the previous din of giving 1,000, he's assuming 1,000 is dafka, and therefore you support people on a 5-year plan. Now, these halachos, if a person is poor, you support them, right? Poor meaning you don't have enough money for the ordinary expenses of a year. But all the poskim say, let's say you get some extraordinary expense. Someone in the family, Nebuch, is sick, right? A hurricane comes and takes away your house, right? These things happen. So in those situations, even though I'm earning good money, no? I still have my yearly salary, and my yearly salary is enough to keep me going all year. But now I have this extraordinary expense, I'm going to tell it to take tzedakah anyway. Mm-hmm. Right? It's not that there's like a poverty line of anyone beneath, let's say, $50,000 gets tzedakah, above 50 doesn't. Because I'm earning more than $50,000. I shouldn't be tempted to collect any tzedakah. But now I have unusual expenses, so then I get tzedakah, but that tzedakah is only to pay up those unusual expenses. Right? Ayala.
In those types of situations, is there a difference between taking tzedakah from a gamaf and taking tzedakah entirely?
So the dinim here are the same, whether I'm collecting from an individual firm, a gamach. There is a machlokas ha-rishonim and achronim about these dinim of like kedei ma'arash ha-yachsar lo, that we're supposed to support the ani in accordance with what he's missing. Is that incumbent on every individual? Is that only incumbent on the gabai tzedakah, on the community? Mm-hmm. But in terms of from the ani's perspective, however he could get the money, he gets the money. And like we mentioned a few weeks ago, if the ani has a rich relative, so that relative is responsible to support him, right? And he shouldn't go to the community, right? Fine. So now, what we have over here are some very complicated dinim. How poor do you have to be? Basically, you have to assess what it takes to live in your community according to a normal standard of living. By the way, we're talking about not living on treif food. No, treif is much cheaper than kosher, no? Talking about living on kosher food, right? Does a person have a right to, let's say, keep chol of Yisrael when he's taking tzedakah? Because that chum of chol of Yisrael means that your gallon of milk costs...
about twice.
Yeah.
One of us keeps
Chol
Yisrael and one doesn't.
Aha. But it's a serious question. In other words, do I have a right, assuming that we hold the Chol of Yisrael is a Chumrah, which I think we spoke about that in the Shiurim way back when, assuming
which he's accustomed.
What?
You're talking about the style to which he's accustomed.
Right, so I have to support on the style they're accustomed. They're accustomed to Chol of Yisrael.
Right, right.
That's fine. But maybe I could say that the style to which I'm accustomed is like a style of living. Over here I'm doing something as a halachic chumra. Do I have a right to have a halachic chumra that ends up hurting the community?
So you're saying, for example, as another example, if I've always bought a $300 esrog, can I continue to buy a $300 esrog and use...
Right.
I hope not.
Exactly. I mean, so we spoke about some of these ideas a while back in terms of using miser money. Maybe I can use my own miser money to pay for my own esrog, right? That's what we spoke about in that context. These questions are not clear, la halacha. I don't know if tzedakah agencies look into people to this extent in terms of like asking them, what exactly do you need? I should ask this guy from Yad Eliezer. I should ask him, ultimately, you know, let's say you're supporting a brisker, right? So you support a brisker, do you have to support their shechita and the brisker matzahs? It's like $50 a matzah, a brisker matzah, right? I mean, you have to figure these things out. I don't know. I would be inclined, like my gut feeling is, that the tzibur shouldn't be responsible for your chumras, but I have no way of answering this question.
As opposed to like a church,
So yeah, so I think if everyone in your community has it, you're entitled to have it also, right? We judge stucca based on the standard of living in your community, where you live. Now that of course gives an on the and out. No, someone who's living in Washington Heights can move to the Upper East Side, right? And right in theory, so that we spoke about a few weeks ago from the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer asked the question, well, if Aniyim of Eretz Yisrael have preference over Aniyim elsewhere, so let a guy who's not making it in Shnippeshuk move to Eretz Yisrael, and then he'll go around with the Ani Eretz Yisrael card and get more money. So Chassam Sofer said, no, that's Geneva from the Aniyim in Eretz Yisrael. But let's say there are no Aniyim in the Upper East Side. They probably are.
Of course
right? Of course there are. But in theory, if there wouldn't be, so then maybe you'd be able to pull that stunt and to move to a wealthier community and thereby have a higher standard of living, make yourself an ani, and then you could collect as much stuff as you want.
Do you really want to do that?
Of course not. And the first halacha that we saw is that you shouldn't do it. Avoid becoming an ani at all cost. No?
You want to go to one of those ritzy synagogues and feel out of it.
You should avoid becoming an ani. We don't want people to try. Fine. Let's do one other din. Which I think is interesting. Here, Si'if Dalad, turn over the page. Sometimes a person who has considerable money is still allowed to take tzedakah. The case is as follows. A bal habayis haholech mimakom lemakom. Let's say you have a bal habayis, right? So the guy owns, I don't know, a house in Chappaqua. He's a bal habayis, and he's going from place to place. V'kalu ma'osav baderech. And he ran out of money on the road. V'ein lo ma'yochal. So yito tzedakah. Then you're allowed to take tzedaka. Ukshe yachzor lebeiso eino chayev l'shalem. When you get back home, you don't have to pay. Devlei ka'oni v'hesher de eino chayev l'shalem. You're like a poor person who got rich, who doesn't have to. If I collect money when I'm poor, then I become wealthy after. I don't have to return the money that I got. I was poor at that moment, so I was entitled to take tzedaka. So here we have a guy who is filthy rich. He has millions of dollars, but right now he is... You ever got those emails that I have $9 million and now my wallet was taken from me in the airport in London and just wire money to
wire it to the police station.
I got hacked Arab Rosh Hashanah and my friends are all stuck in London. And my friends all text me like, wait, are you in London? I'm like, why would I have a flight out on Rosh Hashanah night?
Fine point. But these hack emails are sort of this case. It's a bal habayis haholech mimakom lemakom. You're a wealthy person, but Nebuch, you got robbed in an airport. By the way, never send money to one of those emails, okay? I don't think... Fine. So, a bal habayis haholech mimakom lemakom is entitled to take tzedakah. Now, there are a few caveats over here. First of all, Reb Chaim Kanievsky in the Sefer Derech Amuna paskins that a bal habayis who's holeich mimakom lemakom can only take tzedakah if he can't borrow money. If you can borrow money, remember, I'm a rich guy, right? So I don't have to take tzedakah. Borrow money and then pay him back after. No?
With interest?
No, you're not allowed to borrow money with interest.
Yeah, from a non-Jew.
From a non-Jew? I'm not allowed to pay interest in a non-Jew. Right. I'm allowed to take interest in that. I can't pay interest in that. Sure. I'm not supposed. I mean, we'll talk about the Dinim of Ribbis. If the Ribbis is beheter, you could do it. If the Ribbis is not beheter, you can't do it. With the heteriski.
I'm talking just a non-Jew.
We'll talk about Ribbis a different time. I think what I said is correct, but now I'm having second thoughts. I have to look it up. Okay. But the fact is, so Reb Shechter used to tell the story like this, that the Reb Yeruchim Gerelik was one of the Rebbeim in YU. He was a colorful character. He had a way of, he felt he was a bigger Talmud Chacham than Rav Soloveitchik, and what he used to always do is, he would call the guys from Rav Soloveitchik and say, oh, what did your Rebbe say in Shir? And then he would, get in this argument with the students and tell your Rebbe doesn't know what he's talking about because about this or that. That was Rebbe Yeruchim. He was a character. Rebbe Yeruchim also, I always tell President Joel that if you think the YU Rosh Yeshiva are right wing, you have no idea what Rebbe Yeruchim Gerelik was. Rebbe Yeruchim's son is the Rosh Yeshiva in Philly now. Reb Chaim Moshe Gerelik is Rosh Yeshiva in Philly. Reb Yeruchim basically, whenever there's a good Talmud in his shir, he'd walk up and say, maybe you should go to a different yeshiva. That's where Rabbi Yerucham did. He was a character. But Rabbi Yerucham was also a great darshan. He was a wonderful speaker. He had a shul, I think, on University Avenue in the Bronx. He had a shul right over the bridge. So the students from yeshiva used to like to walk to Rabbi Yerucham's shul for Shalosh Shudas. Because he would always speak at Shalosh Shudas. So Shabbos afternoon, they'd walk over, daven mincha, eat Shalosh Shudas, Rabbi Yerucham shul. And then, you know, it's Matzah Shabbos, they have to get back to yeshiva. And they don't want to walk back Matzah Shabbos. So Rabbi Yerucham would take the tztaka box from the shul, walk over to the guys right after Havdalah and say, here's the tztaka box, take money from the tztaka box to take a bus back home. See, by the kotel, the buses are free Matzah Shabbos, you know?
Getting rid of it.
Now they got rid of it, yeah. But people were supposed to pay back. Okay, so we'll talk about that in a minute. But this is a din, Rabbi Yerucham felt, of Bal Habayis HaHolech Mimakom LaMakom, that basically all the guys in yeshiva had money to pay for the bus, but they didn't have their money with them because they can't carry on Shabbos, no?
Right.
So he would say, okay, here's the pushka, take money, and then, right, and it says in Shulchan that you don't have to pay the money back. That's the din. Now, according to Reb Chaim Kanievsky, what Rabbi Yerucham did is incorrect. Because really, the guys shouldn't have taken stucca. They really should have borrowed money. Right? Rabbi Yerucham should have, I guess, had a $20 bill there and lent it to the boys, and they would pay him back instead of taking from the pushka. That would have been preferred, according to Reb Chaim Kanievsky. Now, when we say that einu chayev l'shalem, that you don't have to pay back, should you pay back? So the simple reading of Shulchan Aruch, you're saying, you're shaking your head, is that yes, right? That is what the Rambam sounds like. The Rambam Perish HaMishnah sounds that way. However, the Vilna Gaon, in his commentary on Mishnayis, the Gra says that you should not pay back. The Rambam assumes that this rich guy, who temporarily doesn't have his cash, is supposed to pay back Lotzeis Yedei Shemayim. Right? He has like a spiritual obligation to pay back. Yeah. But the Gra disagrees. The Gra says that you have no obligation. Most later poskim, I think, follow the Gra, that they assume that you have absolutely no obligation to pay back if you're in this category of Bala Bayis HaHolech Mimakom L'Makom. Fine. And I give you the Rambam here in Perish HaMishnah, where the Rambam says, Mimidas Chasidus, you should pay back.
Yeah, exactly.
Fine. So that is, sometimes you can be a wealthy person and still take tzedakah. Now, sensitive topic. Poor people are entitled to collect tzedakah, right? Let's say the poor person is a non-Jew. Do you give tzedakah to the non-Jew? Let's say the poor person is a non-observant Jew. Do you give tzedakah to non-observant Jews and to non-Jews? So this is a big question. Let's just go slowly. These dinim are all here in Shulchan Aruch. In terms of non-Jews, it says, that's the bold in Se'if Aleph. This is a Mishnah in Gittin, that Mefarnesim Aniye Ovde Kochavim Im Aniye Yisrael Mipnei Darkei Shalom. No? I support poor non-Jews together with poor Jews Mipnei Darkei Shalom. The simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch is that if I have two people in front of me with their hand out, one is Yidol, the other is not Yidol, right? So I give Yidol and not Yidol because they're both here, and it's not Darkei Shalom. It's insulting, it's mean to only give the Yid and not to give the Goy. So therefore, but if you'd have a non-Jew on his own who collects tzedakah from you, the simple meaning of Shulchan Aruch is that you don't give him tzedakah. It's only Mefarnesim Aniye Akum Im Aniye Yisrael. If you look in the Darkei Moshe,
himself a partner.
If you look in the Darkei Moshe, I give you the Darkei Moshe over here. Skip two sources. Kosav Haran, Delav Dafka Im Aniye Yisrael, Ela Afilu Aniye Goyim Lechur Mefarnesim Ipnei Darkei Shalom. In other words, the Ran says that even if you have a Eno Ben Bris in front of you, right, with his hand out, you give it to him, right, Mipnei Darkei Shalom, even if there's no Jew around. Abba B'mordechai Kosav, the Eim Mefarnesim Ela Im Aniye Yisrael Dafka, most poskim follow the Ran. Even though the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch over here is that you only support a non-Jew together with the Jew, but most poskim say that you are allowed to support non-Jews on their own. That means that it's Darkei Shalom. It's proper to give money to non-Jews who are poor. No? Now, we're not talking about giving money to the church. That's like a question of supporting Avodah Zarah. But I'm talking about a plain individual. That person I should be supporting Mipnei Darkei Shalom.
What about like organization? Like
UNICEF.
It's also right, the same thing. If it's a non-religious, non-Jewish organization is worthy of tzedakah. Again, I have to prioritize my tzedakah giving. Right? So I have to figure out who's entitled to how much based on what we've been discussing for the last couple of weeks. But at the same time, a non-Jewish tzedakah is also a tzedakah. That's absolutely, right? That's the halacha. Fine. Next point. What? Yes. It would count, again, it might not be a priority within Meiser. The priorities of Meiser are for Talmud Torah and for poor Jews, but it would count as a secondary Meiser. Anything that counts as a tzedakah would count as a secondary Meiser.
Because one would, could have read this Darkei Shalom as meaning that it's kind of like the reason that a doctor can violate Shabbos in the circumstances where he can to heal a non-Jewish person.
So that's because we're worried about a pogrom.
Right.
Right, that's because of Eva. Right. Darkei Shalom is different than Eva. Darkei Shalom means we want to engender good relations.
Okay.
Eva means that if we don't do this, they will kill us.
Right. Okay. But if engendering good relations isn't the same as giving tzedakah. Now I should have a publicity
campaign. No. But engendering good relations, let's say I'm a super rich Jew, and everyone knows me in town, so then it's my responsibility to give some of my tzedakah money to the local non-Jewish charities to help them, because that's Darkei Shalom, no? Again, I don't think the average person, this issue comes up as much, besides the case where you have someone whose hand is in front of you, then you give it to him, absolutely. But you see, by the way, it's appropriate. Now, again, you have to figure out sometimes the people who are collecting money are drug addicts, and by giving them money, you're hurting them rather than helping them.
Right.
That's certainly something that has to be factored in. But if it's a person who's a genuinely poor person who's not abusing, so that person is entitled to receive tzedakah. Mipnei Darkei Shalom. Absolutely.
How do we figure that out?
Again, I give them a few dollars, no? I have some money in my pocket, give it to them. Why not?
What if people just throw the money back at you when you only give them like $2?
Yes. We'll talk
about
it. I mean, I know that I have a bunch of people.
I might.
The rabbis say not to give out if people come to the door if they don't have a letter from the rav.
Right, so I might talk about that later on. That's one of the last things I might want to talk about. I have some thoughts on that idea. We'll try to get there before the end of tonight's year. Okay, let's go on. What about giving tzedakah to non-religious Jews? So non-religious Jews come in many different types. Shulchan Aruch has only two categories. And what we encounter today is none of those two categories. Shulchan Aruch has one category called a mumar lahachis. A mumar lahachis is somebody who is out to make God angry. If there is a piece of kosher meat and a piece of nevela in front of him, and they both are just as tasty, the mumar lahachis will eat the nevela. Right? That's a mumar lahachis. A mumar latei avon is the other category that's mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. That's someone who will eat the non-kosher meat if he doesn't have kosher available. No? That's a mumar latei avon. A person who, for his own benefit, for her own benefit, they violate halacha, that is a mumar latei avon. So the halacha in Shulchan Aruch is as follows. A mumar lahachis, if you have someone who is... here, let's read Sif Beis. Mishahu avayan lahachis, afilu lemitzvah achas. The person is, even if it's only a single mitzvah that this person always rebels against, kigon she'ochel nevela, hecha deshkiach besak shera, asur leftoto im nishpeh. But if the person is captured, you're not allowed to redeem the person, and you're not allowed to give them tzedakah. But an avarian l'tei avon, someone who does averos just for their own benefit, imrotzim liftoso, ein mechuyavim bekach, I don't have to redeem them, but if I want to, I can. That's what the Mechaber says. In other words, according to Shulchan Aruch, if someone is an avarian l'tei avon, someone is violating averes for their own benefit, so that person I have no obligation to give tzedakah to, but if I want to, I can. That's what the Mechaber assumes. Rabbi Elijah Kramer of Vilna died in the year 1797. We call him the Vilna Gaon. The Gra says that you're mechuyev to give tzedakah to a mumar l'tei avon. A mumar l'tei avon, according to the Gra, he paskins like a tosis in Avodah Zarah. A mumar l'tei avon is a full-fledged Jew, and you're obligated to give tzedakah to him. That's what the Gra says. According to Shulchan Aruch, I have no obligation, but if I want to, I can. Good? Now, the non-observant Jews that we have in our world, are they mumar l'haches? Are they mumar l'tei avon? They're not mumar l'haches. I don't think they... Occasionally you have someone who's a mumar l'haches. It's rare. Usually, occasionally you find somebody who was part of the community and then decided to chuck the whole thing. Right? You have these people, choser b'she'ela, as they call it, but most of them are not l'haches, certainly. Right? When they eat the non-kosher, it's because they don't know that eating kosher is important, no?
Right. Because it's there.
Are they mumar l'tei avon? They're not really mumar l'tei avon either. Because a mumar l'tei avon realizes that it's wrong and is doing it for their own benefit. These people don't realize that it's wrong. So the status of these people, Bizman Hazeh, is there's a famous chazonish in Simon Beis of Yerideya. I just look in the Chazon Ish in Yerideya Simon Beis. The Chazon Ish develops the idea that Reb Chaim of Volozhin had and others had, that in order to really be a mummer, you have to be someone who received Musar and still violates it. Today, we don't have the ability to give Musar. We don't have the ability to give Musar because people today, even if they are exposed to Orthodox Jews, they think that Orthodox Judaism isn't an obligation. We know it is an obligation, but they think it's something that's value added. You know what? Maybe it's a nice thing. You want to do it if it's meaningful for you. You know, zeigesund. But they probably don't say zeigesund. But the fact is, the Chazon Ish is the big kula in terms of that. All of the chilonim today, according to the Chazon Ish, are neither mumar l'haches nor are they mumar l'tei avon, but the Chazon Ish's approach that they are like, they never received musar. They're like a tinok shenishba, although he doesn't want to exactly use those terms for. The Chazon Ish writes a line, aleinu l'moshchem ba'avosos ha'ahava, that our responsibility is to draw them in with the ropes of love. To pull them in with ropes of love. So it would seem that we have an obligation to support people who are not religious, to give them tzedakah. I mentioned at one point a person I know who supports his own brother. His brother actually studied in yeshiva, but is no longer religious by any stretch. The person supports his brother with almost all of his tzedakah money. Again, we mentioned that's the halacha of hakar of karav kodem, etc. The person is not religious by any stretch. Is the person a mumar l'haches? According to the Chazon Ish, even though the person studied in yeshiva, but ultimately, that doesn't mean we live in a world that everyone thinks everything is optional. So therefore, you're not going to be considered a mumar l'haches, according to the Chazon Ish. Okay, so basically, it would seem like we should give tzedakah. Fine. Let's go on. Next in. Do I have to give something to every poor person who I meet? Okay, this is the last din that we'll do tonight, and maybe we'll talk about Elisa's question in a minute. Im sha'alo ha'ani, Ve'ein lo ma yitein lo. Right? You see the last in? The poor person asks me, and I don't have what to give. So this is pretty obvious. Lo yigar bo ve'yagbia kolo alav. Don't start screaming at him. Right? Don't say, oh, you stupid, like, go get a job. Hey, don't scream at the guy. Oh, yeah, Ella, if I send him a dvarim, be nice, appease him. V'yire, right, libo hatov, shiritzon elitin lo ela she'en yodo masagas. Don't scream at the guy. Sometimes people become defensive. I don't have money to give you, so, I'll give you a misha beirach. Instead of giving you money, right, I'll give you a bracha you'll never forget. So don't do that, right? Don't do that. Then the Rama writes, Haga, Va'asur lahachzir ha'ani ha'sho'el rekam. You cannot, if a person asks for money, you can't turn them away empty-handed. Afilu ein notein lo, rak grogeres achas. Even if I only give him a grogeres, a small fig, what is it? Still, I shouldn't turn him away empty-handed, even give him a tiny amount. Shenemar, al yoshuv dach nichlam. Don't turn the poor person away to be embarrassed. That's the din. This din is known by every schnorrer in the world.
Yeah.
And they say, you're obligated to give me money because I yoshev dach nechlam, no? I put up my hand, right? You can't insult me. You have to give me something. That's their argument. So I want to take this din apart a bit and try to understand it. First of all, Reb Chaim Konyevsky paskins that the halacha of Ayoshev Dach Nichlam is only true if the person is collecting for himself or for herself. Sometimes you have a person who comes around and they're collecting for others, no? Isn't that common? They're collecting for someone else. In that case, the halacha is Ayoshev Dach Nichlam does not apply because this din is that you shouldn't insult the person. The person is collecting money, don't insult the person, give the person something. But I'm not insulting the ani, because the ani is who knows where, right? I'm insulting the collector. And even, says Reb Chaim Konyevsky, if the collector himself is an ani, sometimes you have one poor person is collecting for some other poor person, no? Still, the din is that Yoshev Dach Nichlam doesn't apply. Now, am I obligated sometimes in the morning? Baruch Hashem, in our community, we don't have this like in other communities. So my parents live in Lawrence, like they have these caravans that come around in the morning, and it's all lahavdil. It's like the clown cars; they just keep on coming out. Really? You see hundreds of them. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
What?
My father's always talking about it.
So, am I obligated to give every schnorrer who comes into shul? And many shuls have rules. Don't collect during davening, and sometimes they listen, sometimes they don't listen, etc. It's not a great situation.
Well, they go where the money
am
is.
Am I obligated to give money to every schnorrer who comes around? The simple meaning of this Rama is, yes, a yoshev dach nechlam. It's a poor person. He's collecting for himself. You have to give him money,
how
no?
much?
So, Rav Shech, so at least a groger asachas. At least a small fig, the smallest coin that you have. Give him a penny. Right? Now we're going to get to Eliza's problem in a minute. Right? Mm-hmm. 10 agurot. Right? You give him, right? We'll get to that problem in a minute. But am I mechuyev to give every schnorrer? So Rav Schechter says that he was once speaking to Rabbi Avram Shapira. Rabbi Avram Shapira was the Rosh Hashiva in Merkaz HaRav, and he was the Rav HaRashi. He was the chief rabbi. He was not speaking to Rabbi Avram Shapira. But Rabbi Avram Shapira said that he felt that the halacha does not apply to these people. Because in order for this halacha to apply, it has to be the person's considered poor. These guys are not poor. They have a steady income. They're schnurrers. That's their income. So if my income is that I'm a schnurrer, so then the din of Ayoshev Dach Nichlam doesn't apply because, right? The guy's not poor. If you're not poor, I don't have to give. Hey, so far, so good. That's one approach. I saw there's a sefer on Hilchos Tzedakah. There's a fellow, Reb Yoel Schwartz. He wrote like 9 million sfarim. His wife has a store in Geula called Srigat Yoel, where she sells snoods. It's like...
How many snoods can you sell?
Not so many. So she also sells his sfarim on the side.
Uh-huh.
Every time I'm in Yerushalayim, my wife always wants me to buy her like a new snood and something. It's like a thing. They're very cheap, the snoods. You get a snood for like 25 shekel, and like they're good stuff. But whatever it's worth. But the fact is that she also sells his sperm. So he always asks his wife, did your husband write new sperm? And she always says, yeah, sure, come and look. The guy, Susie, wrote hundreds of titles.
Are they good?
So, yeah, they're very nice. He's a very nice host. So he has a little book about Stucca. So first, in his book about Stucca, he writes, he goes through all the Ma'amari Chazal about how you shouldn't take Stucca, and you should try to get a job. He is the posek for the Nachal Haredi. Rabbi Yoel Schwartz is a very important guy. They beat him up all the time, but he's the posek for the Nachal Haredi. He's like a hero. So he has a small sefer on Stucca. So he writes that you're not mochiv to give every schnurrer also for a different reason. He says that this halacha of al yoshev dach nichlam is if the guy is going to become embarrassed when he goes around. This schnurrer knows that half of the people give me, half of the people don't give me. No? So he doesn't get embarrassed if you don't give him. So Mamela, the halacha, doesn't apply. It's a little different. It's a slightly different reason than what Rav Schechter said. Now, the question is, and the Five Kohen in the Badei HaShulchan deals with this, is this halacha, is this a din in Stucca, that I have to give a tiny coin to every poor person? Or is it a special halacha in Bizayon? If it's a halacha in Stucca, so I would derive from this din the concept that many achronim discuss, that there's chatzi shir by mitzvos. You see, by a mitzvah, usually I'm supposed to eat, let's say, a kezayis of matzah on Pesach. Let's say I don't have a full kezayis. I have one bite of matzah. Should I take one bite and assume that just like chatzi shir, eating a tiny bit of treif is usher? So eating a tiny bit of a mitzvah, I get some sort of mitzvah? Or do I assume that, you know what, unless I do the full amount of the mitzvah, it's not worth anything? The full amount of tzedakah is a third of a shekel. If I give a little bit, maybe that's not any mitzvah at all. I'm supposed to give the poor person a grogeres, a tiny fig amount, however that much is, it's like the smallest coin in the country. Maybe that's not tzedakah. Maybe that's a halacha just not to insult the person. There are two possibilities here. Either we assume that this is a mitzvah of tzedakah, and therefore I would prove that there's chatzi shir by mitzvos, that I'm supposed to give a tiny amount, and eventually it will add up, and it's valuable. Right? I get some sort of mitzvah tzedakah by giving it to him.
Who said that
I'll say the shir like this. Pachos mishava pruta. Less than a pruta, halachically, is not called money. No? Gezela pachos mishava pruta, there's no din of v'heshev as gezela on. If I give less than the shava pruta, I give a penny or 10 agurot, it's less than the pruta. Right? So, is that a chatzi shir of tztaka? Or is it not a chatzi shir of tztaka? It's a special din of al yoshev dach nichlam. So, Reb Fivel Cohen in the Badei HaShulchan points out that this halacha appears in Shulchan Aruch Simen Reish Mem Tes. Reish Mem Tes is not the regular dinim of tztaka. The regular dinim of tztaka are found in Reish Nun Aleph and Reish Nun Gimel. Reish Mem Tes, he wants to assume, is a halacha, just I shouldn't insult the guy. That's what Fivel Cohen assumes. But the Rambam quotes this din within the context of regular tztaka. So according to the Rambam, it would seem that we could prove that there's chatzi shir by mitzvos. But another nafgamina of this question might be what Aliza asked. If the guy's going to throw the coin back at me, no, I go to the kotel with my 10 agurot and I give it to every little guy because I want to be very frum, right? You didn't listen to the beginning of our discussion of al yashav dach nichlam. So I want to be frum, so I want to give everyone. So I give them 10 agurot, 10 agurot, 10 agurot. So some of them are going to take a throw back at you, right? So should I give it to them? If the halacha is a halacha based on embarrassment, the reason I should give them a tiny amount is that they shouldn't get embarrassed. So if giving them that tiny amount embarrasses them even more, so I shouldn't give anything, right? But if it's the halacha that I have a mitzvah to give the tiniest amount of tzedakah to every poor person who comes forward, right? As a din of tzedakah, so maybe one could argue that you should give them, again, this is my own idea, my own suggestion, but maybe I should give them a teeny bit of tzedakah in order to fulfill this mitzvah of tzedakah, that maybe I have a mitzvah of tzedakah to every person who reaches out their hand. There's a lot more to say, But I think these are some of the basic halachos of the poor person receiving tzedakah, my obligation to them. So, thank you for coming.